There are two times, I mean, Mark Twain, he knew. He knew because he was one of them. He was one of the goofballs that lost the fortune speculating in really wild inventions that never made any money. There are two times in a man's life when he should not speculate. When he can't afford it and when he can. Are you with me? Stay away.
That applies to
Las Vegas. Lottery tickets, stock options, and futures. What are futures? Now, folks, futures are even more potentially dangerous than options. With options, you just lose all your money if you're the buyer of the option. With futures, you can lose a lot of money really quickly. But unlike options, these things actually have an economic benefit. They are useful, especially in our modern technologically based society. Futures contracts are commitments to deliver a certain amount of some specified item at some specified date in the future. A buyer and a seller specify a commodity or financial instrument to be delivered and paid when the contract matures. So remember the strike price? We call this the futures price. And that's guaranteed by the contract. Futures started with commodities, sometimes called hard assets, real assets, wheat, soybeans, cattle, pork bellies, gold, oil. And then they've moved now to the financial world. So here's the rationale. If it doesn't make sense, raise your hand. I know you didn't understand me when I was talking about options, but now you got to understand me now. Because this is important, because you're going to have situations where people are going to say, how come the price of oil went down, the barrel of oil went down, and the gas is still $4 a gallon? Because it's the future, it's not now. Producers of commodities use futures contracts extensively. So let's say you're a farmer, right? It's April. What do you do in April?
Selling.
That's right. Not yet. No, it's April. And I'm not a farmer. So you plant, right? You plant your corn. So listen, wheat. So this is a guy in Iowa. He's a farmer. And he plants 1,000 acres of wheat. Right? Maybe that's where we got, tractors and stuff. He knows that if all goes well, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, come September, he's going to have 500,000 bushels of wheat. Right? I don't know. Maybe it's wrong. I don't know. I'm not a farmer. I don't know how many acres it creates this many bushels. But let's say that's what's going to happen. What?
Land right there.
I don't know. So anyway, he goes on, he calls his broker, he goes online, and he sees that September wheat futures are currently selling today in April for $6 per bushel. You understand? Mm-hmm. He looks on the computer and sees that right now he can sell his wheat to be delivered in September at $6 a bushel. This is the problem with farming, isn't it? Okay. Anybody from a farming state? Yeah.
This is my friends are from Mexico, their family. So I go visit and I don't help them.
Yeah. You're a farmer. And the sun is shining just at the right place. The locusts don't come. The rain comes at the right time. You have a bumper crop. What happens to the price? It plummets. Because everybody had a bumper crop. And so now the world is awash in wheat or oranges or cotton. And now you got all this wheat and you can't sell it for a price to make a profit. What happens if the sun comes at the wrong time, the locust comes, the rain, the tornado comes, and it happens to your crop? What happens to the price? You don't want to be a farmer, folks. It's very frustrating. It's very, very frustrating. One of the most frustrating things in the world. Everybody does well, and the price... Everybody does poorly, the price goes up, you don't have any wheat to sell. That's why the government often steps in, because they got to work this stuff out. Because we need food. The farmer can sell his wheat via a wheat futures contract while it's still in the ground. He can guarantee a price he is happy with and will result in a profit. The contract states he will deliver the wheat in September and receive $6 per bushel, no matter what happens to wheat prices. So what is he doing? He's locking in the price. You understand?
Well, so if he locks in the price but can't deliver,
then that's when the government steps in. That's when there's all kinds of, you know, farm problems. Yeah, exactly. Because that happens. That happens. Now, who needs 500,000 bushels of wheat?
Kellogg's.
Post cereal. General Mills. So consumers of commodities also use them. But on the other side. You understand? Kellogg's, General Mills, Post cereal need tons and tons of wheat and soybeans and rice each year and corn to make cereal and other foodstuffs. So via futures contracts, in April, they can purchase the wheat to be delivered in September and pay $6 per bushel no matter what happens to wheat prices. So what are the disadvantages and what are the advantages? Yeah, for the farmer, if the price goes up, oh well, he's still got to sell it at $6. For the food manufacturer, the Kellogg's, if the price goes down, no, they got to pay $6. So the farmer is protecting himself against prices plummeting, and the food manufacturers are protecting themselves against prices going up. You with me? Understand? They are what we call hedging their bet. They're hedging. Yes? That's when the government comes in. That's when we, you know, work things out, and that's why there's food co-ops. But subsidy, well, that's got a loaded connotation.
It's money,
and that's why, because we want people to eat. And the same thing happens in the oil business, folks. When you hear that oil is selling for $100 a barrel, is that what it's selling for right now? That's typically, they quote the 3-month price. So when you can 6 months, 9 months, but when you hear today oil went up to $102 a barrel, what that means is crude oil to be delivered 3 months from now is currently selling for $102. So say the price plummets to $70. It's going to take 3 months for that oil to get to the refinery. And then it's going to take 6-8 weeks to be refined and get to the gas station. So you see the price plummet, or you hear the price plummet on the news, but do you see the gas go down? No. Or likewise, when the price goes up, gas is still selling for $3.20. What's going on here? Understand? That's why they're called futures. Because they're buying and selling the future. Are you with me?
When you say buying and selling that future, it's all speculation, right?
No! No, it's not speculation if you're a producer. Because you have the goods. And if you're a consumer, it's not speculation because you consume. You need the goods. So if you're this oil producer, you're going to, you know, eventually have that stuff. And if you're Southwest Airlines or FedEx and you need that oil, you understand? You're not speculating. You're hedging.
But I keep hearing in the news, like, if the United States hits Iran, the price of oil will go up.
You better believe it will. Why? Because there'll be less oil. There'll be less supply. And what happens if the demand stays the same and the supply goes down, you economists, the price goes up. Plus, we're not going to get to it today, but speculators get in. See, these people are not speculators. We'll talk about the speculators on Thursday. But futures contracts allow producers and consumers of commodities to hedge, taking a futures position opposite to an existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. Hedge your bet. Have you heard this term? The farmer is protecting himself from wheat prices falling. The cereal companies are protecting themselves from wheat prices rising. And we'll review this and continue and finish up. There's not that much more. But that's the basic idea for futures. And they really do have a valid usage in the world. All right, you don't think so?
Well,
No, I'm thinking of something wild and big.
Wild and fun. Anyway, Thursday. See you on Thursday, folks.
All right.
So what is it? Wild and crazy?
Yeah.